The reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to chapter 4, verse 7. It can be found on page 1170 in the Church Bibles. Children of God. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls us Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jill, thank you very much. Well, today our theme for our sermon is adoption. I will be looking a bit at that passage, but what I'm trying to do is sort of summarize lots of what the Bible says on this amazing truth. I put together this sort of sermon plan, the idea was to have adoption on Mothering Sunday because I think there are some wonderful truths here. But I think as I've prepared it, I've just become convinced that Christian adoption, how God adopts us, is just the most wonderful doctrine. That actually, if we truly grasp it, it can transform us. So let's pray for God's help. And I just have a sense that maybe one or two here today, you just need to hear these truths, that you are a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And we thank you that you are a God who speaks and that you are a God who loves. And through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, you've made it possible for any of us to put our faith in Christ and to be brought into your family. May we understand more deeply today what it means to be one of your children, a child of yours, and the privilege of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. It is adoption is our theme. Now, it is Mothering Sunday. And it's always a moment where we have Mothering Sunday in the church and the world does Mother's Day. They're actually two slightly different things. So Mothering Sunday, historically, is when people would go back to the church where they were baptized. So I just want you to turn to the person around you or next to you, say hello if you don't know them, and ask, have they been baptized? And if so, can they remember where they were baptized? So if you were to go back to your mother church today where you were baptized, just turn to the person next to you, where would you go back to?
Down
Okay, well, let's come back together. My guess is that some of us, it was quite a long way away. Some of you, was anyone actually baptized here at St. Matthew's? There's a few, one or two. If I was to go back to that church, I would be going back to Wiltshire. I was baptized at Christ Church, Wirton, which is a little village just outside Devizes in the Diocese of Salisbury. Got a baptism card from that. Some of us have been baptized as children, others as adults. I'm going to come back to this a bit later. But of course, as often with these things, Mothering Sunday gets overtaken by Mother's Day, which is a sort of movement to thinking about our mums. And I'm conscious that for today, Mother's Day is a day of joy. It's a chance we give thanks to our mums. And if we're a child, it's a chance that as children we thank our mums. But for some, it's a really hard day. Some of you, it will be a day when we remember that our mums have passed. Some people say to me that actually they can't come to church on this day. It's all too much. Some of us will have had very difficult family relationships, and that's really hard. And that's why I think the Christian doctrine of adoption is very, very precious. Because the Bible says, whatever our experience of human family, each one of us is a child in God's family. And that we have a heavenly Father who loves each one of us, that Jesus is our brother, and we're brothers and sisters together in the Christian family. So I just want to explore why adoption is so significant. Now, let me just put it in the context of where we've been. We've been looking at the cross. It's a very strange symbol of the Christian faith. It's a Roman form of execution. I've said this each week. If I wandered around with a necklace with a guillotine, that would be strange, but we all happily walk around with a cross because we believe that at the cross, as Jesus died, that's where true hope is found. It makes sense of the world. And the Bible says it's because of the cross that we can join the family. We look at these four words: redemption, adoption, justification, reconciliation. 2 weeks ago, we thought about redemption. This is the idea that we were once slaves to an empty way of life, slaves to sin, not in the family actually. But Jesus died to set us free, to buy us back, to bring us into the family, and he did that through his blood. Last week, we thought about justification. This, that we're all sinners, that we turn our backs on God, we've fallen short of the glory of God, we deserve rightfully God's wrath and his justice. But wonderfully, God loves us. And in Jesus, he died in our place. He was punished for our sins. He took the wrath we deserve so that we might be forgiven. And the result is we're justified through faith. Friends, we join the family not because of what we do. We don't join the family by being good. We don't join the family by coming to church. We join the family by receiving the gift of our Lord Jesus. And here we are today, and we're thinking about adoption. And of course, adoption takes us one step further than justification. Justification says we're not guilty. But say you're in a law court and the judge says you're not guilty, that's fine. But adoption is when the judge says, not only are you not guilty, come and join the family. Come and share in the inheritance. That's what's going on in this doctrine of adoption. And I want to pull out sort of four things that the Bible teaches about adoption. Let's remind ourselves what adoption is. Here, this is what it is in this country. This is from the Barnardo's website. Adoption means taking full legal and parental responsibility for a child. It is a lifelong commitment supported by an adoption order, which is granted through a court and is permanent. It is not like growing up in care. It is not like growing up with a foster parent. It is when a court declares you are in the family permanently and you have all the rights of a child. That's what adoption means in this country. And here is a definition of biblical adoption. Adoption is an act of God whereby he makes us members of his family. It's where God takes us from that empty way of life when we're slaves and far from him, and he loves us so much he brings us in and says, come in, join the family, and come in on the inheritance of heaven and earth. John's gospel, one of the four gospels, begins with this. Yet to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Friends, as we believe and trust in Jesus, we become God's children. We are adopted permanently into the family. If you've got the reading we had earlier, just verses 4 and 5, chapter 4. But when the set time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. In the flow of Galatians, there's one way of getting right with God is keeping the law. Every bit, 100% is the pass mark. None of us can do it. Christ does. He keeps the law for us. His perfection becomes ours. Our sin becomes his. And as a result, we join the family. We're redeemed. We're brought into the family. And here are four truths. Here's the first one. Because we are adopted, we relate to God as our Father. Have a look, verse 6. Because you are his sons, because that's now our new identity, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The Bible has lots and lots of ways to describe God. He's our creator, he's our judge, he's our Lord, he's our master, he's our protector. But the Bible says that we are to relate to him as our Father. The disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he says to them, you are to pray, our Father. Abba. Abba is, in that word, it's an Aramaic word. It's a respectful intimacy in Jewish families. It's like talking to God as dad. Just ponder that. The God who made everything, we're to relate to as our dad. Often I get asked by our church schools to talk to the children about what prayer is. And I say it's just like talking to a parent. You could talk to God about anything and everything. And also, how do we relate to him? See, if God is our Heavenly Father, we know he loves us unconditionally. He knows what's best for us. We can trust him to take care of our needs. He's not like a human father's who even at their best can let us down. He's the perfect father. And the wonderful truth of adoption is we speak to God as our Father. Doesn't it transform the way we relate to God? Transform our prayer life? How do you relate to God? Our Father. That's the first thing. Here's another wonderful truth. I meant to mention this. Here's a little verse. After the resurrection, Jesus rises again and he meets Mary in the garden. And he says to her, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That is the reality of our relationship. Jesus is our brother, and we speak to God just like Jesus does to his Heavenly Father. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Okay, we relate to God as our Father. Secondly, we have a secure identity. And I just want to give you a verse from Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's very interesting. The book of Romans, it's a very long book. The first seven chapters, the Spirit gets mentioned 5 times. Chapter 8, 20 times. So in this whole bit about explaining adoption, it's all about the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, as we put our faith in Jesus, the Spirit comes to dwell with us, and the Spirit testifies to us, gives us that assurance that we're loved, and that we're in the family. I love it when I hear people's testimonies and they say, do you know what? One of the truths that transformed me was when I realized how much God loved me, that I was a child and in the family. And of course, because we are adopted, that is permanent. That is a permanent place in the family. I'm talking to someone this week and they said to me, what happens when I mess up as a Christian? And the answer to that is, God still loves you. You're still his child. Say sorry, be forgiven, know he loves you, you're still in the family. It's not like being in foster care. It's not like being in a care home. No, we're in the family. And that gives us a secure identity. Next up. Adoption reminds us that we have a wonderful inheritance. If you've got your Bible verses, just verse 4, verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. You see, a slave doesn't inherit anything. A child does. And in the Roman era, only male children could adopt. So if you wonder why we're called sons, we want to be a son, because sons are the ones who inherit. And the Bible says that as we're trusting Jesus Christ, as we're brought into the family, one day we're going to inherit heaven and earth. That we're going to be with God forever in the perfect creation. I want to just run a little thought experiment. Back in September 2022, the Queen died, and Charles became king. And as the eldest son, he inherited quite a lot. Not only does he become king, he inherits all the wealth of the royal family. Now, let's run a little thought experiment here. Imagine we've got Prince George. I don't know what life's going to hold for him. One day, he will inherit the throne. But let's assume he gets married, but they don't have any of their own children. So they adopt a child. And that child became the heir. And imagine that child, that person, that child comes from a family with not much money. It's a bit transforming, isn't it? To come in and suddenly become king or queen and inherit all that wealth. And that is nothing compared to what we inherit in Christ. You see, we didn't deserve to be in God's family. We were rebels, sinners, far from God, away in the darkness. And he loves us so much, he rescues us and brings us in and say, come on the inheritance. What a privilege. That is why adoption is so special. Because God not only just forgives us, he brings us in on the inheritance. Last truth for this morning. We have a new family. Have a look with me at chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Reminds a simple truth. As we trust Christ, as his death for us, we're brought in as children. For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. What's the symbol, the marker of being in the family? Baptism. That's why I did that bit about baptism at the beginning. When you were baptized, it is that sign of you're in the family. Now, the Bible says that as we trust God, we join the family immediately, but the public signature of it is when we're baptized. When we do the 3-2-1 course, it talks about it a bit like exchanging the wedding rings. That's the sort of permanent moment where it said, I'm in. Friends, when we are baptized, we join the family. And notice in this family, verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, nor there's there male or female. We're one in Christ. All those old divisions that divide us, those other ways of identifying self, they all come second to this primary identity that we are a child of God. And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So friends, if you're here trusting Jesus Christ, you are in this big family that is church. A family made up of people, ultimately from every tribe and tongue and nation. A family that's probably meeting all over the world today with the Lord Jesus as our brother and God as our heavenly Father. One of the wonderful things about church, you only have to look around here, is we're a very diverse bunch, aren't we? But we're united as brothers and sisters through the Lord Jesus. We are in the family. I feel very privileged that actually, having followed Christ, I have so many diverse friends, but we're all united as being in the family. The children are returning. But here's four truths to dwell on this week. If you're here trusting Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family. You can relate to God, the creator of heaven and earth, as your father. You've got a secure identity permanently in the family. You've got a wonderful inheritance to look forward to. And you've got a new family. So friends, let's be family to one another. Let's love one another, look out for one another, bear with each other as we seek to follow Christ. Friends, when we gather on a Sunday, we gather to worship, but we also gather as a family to encourage each other to walk as we follow Christ.